Thank you, Pastor Lim, and a very good morning to all of you, and shalom. Well, once again, I want to thank your elders and deacon board for the privilege to come and minister God's word this morning to all of you. And I also want to take this opportunity to express my appreciation for those of you who have prayed for me, my ministry with Asian Baptist Community Church. And I think you're looking at a picture of our recent church camp in June at Amansari Resort. I've been interim pastor for this church since last May, 2011. So it's been about 15 months as their interim pastor, and this was our camp in June. About 30 of us, around 30 people attended. Our guest speaker was a missionary from Hong Kong called Pastor Matthew Conrad. And today I'm glad to share with you that God has been good. We have gone through a very rocky year in transition. No place to worship. We have to use a sister church for an afternoon service until today, still the same. So that's one of our big challenges, but God has been blessing in his special way. I want to give him glory and praise. And we started with an average attendance of about 30 every Sunday, but God has blessed us with an increase. And we are running right now 60 over for the past 2 months. So thank God for his blessing so far. I trust that this is not a temporary growth spurt, but the people will become committed even despite the challenges that we have. And I would like to ask you to continue to pray for us, please, because we still need to look for a bigger place. Offering right now has been coming to break even, so we thank God for that. Although the church has grown in attendance, the offering has not grown equally to the quantity of people coming. So we trust that God will continue to provide for ABCC. So thanks very much. And today the message I have chosen is taken from Matthew 13, the first parable of seven parables in Matthew 13. And this is a parable which I think will be of great interest to preachers and teachers, Sunday school teachers, and even hearers who are listening to God's word through preaching, Bible study, and also listening to audio sermons or reading books. And this is a sermon that I think is very relevant and applicable to all of us. It is called the parable of the sower commonly. And I've entitled it Four Kinds of Hearers, Which Are You? Now, our Lord Jesus is a great master teacher. I think if you want to learn pedagogy, you should study the messages and sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses parables and stories to teach spiritual truths to his disciples and to the people that are gathered to hear him. And it has been said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus uses what his hearers know in everyday life and bring them to that which is unknown to teach them new spiritual truths. And in that sense, he is a master at that. Now, our story is placed first in Matthew 13 because it reveals something crucial about Jesus, the response to Jesus' message. There was a public controversy with the Pharisees recorded for us in Matthew chapter 12. And they were saying that he was doing miracles and all that by the power of the evil one. And the Lord pronounced judgment on the Pharisees in Matthew 12. And on the same day, Matthew 13 verse 1 begins. And that is the same day that he had a controversy publicly with the Pharisees. He told them seven parables. And one logical question after the controversy would be, if you are who you say you are, Jesus, Why doesn't everyone believe your message? And that question rings across the centuries in many different ways. Why does a wife believe and her husband reject Christ when they hear the gospel? Two friends may study the Bible in seminary, but why does one man become a missionary and dedicate his life to Christ, and the other friend becomes a liberal critic of the Bible and of Jesus? Why do two children raised in the same Christian family end up with completely different values? How is it that the same Word of God produces such differing results in the human heart? And we find the answer in this parable. This parable is commonly known as the parable of the sower, but it would be better described as the parable of the soils, because as the sower casts the seeds out of his hand, the seeds fall on different kinds of soils, each giving a different result. The parable provides a sober reminder that even the most enthusiastic outward response to the gospel, as we will see in one of the response of the soil, it offers no guarantee that one is a true disciple. And Jesus told this parable so that you and I would not be surprised and we won't be discouraged when things don't go the way we expected as we minister the Word of God to children, teens, youth, adults, through whatever means, Sunday school, Bible study, service, and so forth. You know, the Lord Himself is a master teacher, as I've told you, and even the master teacher did not receive 100% response from his hearers. From the four soils, you will find that there are four different responses to the message of our master teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the parable, Jesus identified the seed that the sower was sowing as the word of the kingdom. Now it is very interesting that when you look at the seven parables in Matthew 13, he interpreted only two parables for us. The first one, which we are considering today, and the other is called the parable of the tares. Okay? And only these two are interpreted for us. And because of his interpretation and explanation, it makes it easier for us to understand this parable. And we can spend a bit of time making application to the parable. Jesus compared in this parable four kinds of soil with various kinds of people who had been exposed to his teaching. And they may be classified as, in your sermon outline, firstly, hard-hearted, secondly, shallow-hearted, thirdly, half-hearted, and fourthly, cold-hearted. So let us now look briefly at each class of hearers separately and make some applications. First of all, we have the wayside hearers. And when he sowed, the Bible says some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Now that is the story of an everyday common event that his hearers see happening in the agricultural era of the Lord Jesus' day. And he explained the parable. He says in verse 19, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So Jesus' interpretation is clear here. He says some people hear the message about the kingdom, but like hardened paths, they do not let the truth penetrate. And before they really understand it, the devil has snatch it away, the devil represented by the birds, the fowls of the air. And I need to pause here and say something about understanding, because this parable talks about understanding, right? And the biblical concept of understanding goes beyond the idea of mental comprehension. Now, some of you may be school teachers here, and you have studied pedagogy and so forth. But you will notice that even the most well-prepared lesson, and you have done it so simply with illustration, not all your students are going to receive it. Some of them will still scratch their head and say, I don't understand. All right. But here we are talking about understanding spiritual truth, which adds another level to just, you know, the physical part of it. And Jesus said, the Bible tells us that understanding here involves more than mental comprehension. It includes that, but it has also the element of volitional acceptance. So the understanding and accepting the message of Jesus is involved in the word understand here. The chief priests and Pharisees, for example, they know the meaning of Jesus' parable concerning them. And we see that in Matthew 21, 45. But they refuse to accept its truth. So they reject his message. The person who refuses to accept the word of God, the wayside hearer parable tells us that he will fall victim to the evil one, represented by the birds, who comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And if given the opportunity, Satan and his evil forces, the arch enemies of God's kingdom, will either distort the truth or come to remove it from the hearers, as represented by the wayside path. And this is, of course, a danger which the Bible has already warned hearers. In fact, it says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you harden your heart to God's word, the next time you hear it, it's going to be harder for it to penetrate into your heart. It gets harder and harder each time you reject what God says. And to refuse to accept God's word is to move away from God and from Christ. There is no such a thing as objective neutrality when it comes to confronting yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are either for or against Jesus. No neutral ground at all. So how do we apply this first type of hearer to us? Well, I want to say that the message of the gospel is, in fact, very simple for all to grasp. You don't need to have a PhD to understand the gospel. A simple man would be able to understand, even an illiterate person. Because the gospel message is simple. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It is not very hard to understand what sin is, and to admit that we are all sinners. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And that is why human beings do not live forever on earth. The reason why we all have to die is because of sin entering into the world. And physical death is only one consequence of sin. The more scary consequence of sin is spiritual and eternal death, separation from God forever. And the good news of the Bible is that we do not have to be separated from God because of our sin. We can have our sins forgiven because Jesus, God's Son, came into this world to die in your place and my place, so that you and I can be reconciled to God and have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not hard to understand. Gift. What is a gift? A gift is free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. And God offers salvation freely to every one of us here. And the Bible concludes that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. So is that hard to understand? No. All of us can understand the gospel message. The problem is with accepting or rejecting that message. And this wayside hearer represents those who reject the message of Jesus. And perhaps they are the cynicals. They represent people who are skepticals or even rebels who want to live life their own way and not God's way. Next, we have the stony ground hearers. Verse 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. The explanation by Jesus is, he that receiveth the word into stony places, the same is he which hears the word, and anon, with joy, receives it. Yet he has not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So here we have the shallow-hearted hearer who lacks depth. The stony soil receives extra attention in our parable here. You notice that it covers quite a number of verses, including the explanation by Jesus, because this person's response to the truth follows a two-stage pattern. The first stage is an initial response, joyful acceptance, but only because the circumstances are favorable. The cause of commitment of this hearer is not yet obvious until tribulation, trouble, and persecution arises. And then his reception of the truth is tested. And we might say that the truly committed pay their dues up front, but the marginally committed cancel their membership when payment comes due. So this is the shallow-hearted person. The cause of commitment to the Messiah comes in the form of trouble, as I mentioned, and or persecution. And as quickly as this individual had committed, just as quickly he defected, distancing himself from the word or message of Jesus. But we can say, we can say of such people that they are glad to hear spiritual truth, but it does not change their lives. Sorry, let me go back here. This person is quick to embrace what is new, quick to abandon it as well when difficulties come. And the sad thing, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that today, almost everything connected with modern evangelistic effort is calculated to produce this type of hearer. You see in some churches the bright singing, the sentimentality of the songs, the preacher's appeals to the emotions, the demand of the churches for visible and quick results, and they produce nothing but superficial returns. Sinners are urged to make a prompt decision, rush to the altar, assured all is well with them, and the poor, deluded soul leaves with a false, evanescent joy. And then, by and by, comes trouble and persecution. When the going gets tough, we see these hearers fall away. And so, teachers of God's word, pray for a deeper work of the Holy Spirit in our students' hearts, so that we will not only see a temporary joy and reception, but a committed one. That brings us to the next type of soil, called the thorny ground hearers, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The explanation by Jesus is, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes what? Unfruitful. Now in Mark chapter 4, and you can also see this parable repeated in Luke, it's recorded by three gospel writers. Mark added the last of other things entering in. And in Luke 8, the pleasures of this life are named as additional hindrances, represented by the thorns. And here it is not so much inward causes as it is external snares. External snares that render the third class of hearers unfruitful. The idea here is that worries about this life and the devotion to wealth, which Paul warns us in 1 Timothy 6, hamper spiritual growth or commitment. And if deceit is understood, the deceitfulness of riches is mentioned, there's an added warning that these thorns are so subtle that one may not be aware that choking is going on in his life. And here's a very timely warning for all of us. You know, have we not seen how some professing believers, once very zealous for the Lord, begin to fall away due to study, work commitment, family life, business, or other life's pursuits? These are legitimate things. They are not sinful. But obsession with these legitimate things will hamper one's relationship with Christ. And therefore, here is a timely warning even to us believers. We can get so busy and obsessed with our own family, work, business, study, leisure, that they choke our spiritual life, our growth, commitment, relationship to Christ. And therefore, we need to remember that Christ should be the center of our lives, around which friendship, study, family needs, work, leisure, etc., revolve. And Jesus himself warns us in Matthew 6, you cannot serve God and mammon. Your choice determines who your real master is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Finally, we have the good ground hearers. Verse 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And his explanation in verse 23, he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it. All right, here, understanding is not just mental comprehension, it's acceptance as well included, which also bears fruit and brings forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. All three of the preceding soils had heard the word. The seed sown is the same. The difference is in the soils where the seed fell. So the fourth good seed hears the word, but also understands. This person understands and accepts the truth, and thereby accepting the one who is the truth. The person who submit to God's word, Jesus say, will bring forth fruit in varying degrees. Some hundredfold, he says, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now here the Lord did not clarify for us what caused the variability between the fruitfulness of these various faithful hearers. My guess is this, that one factor may be the degrees of faith. We all have different degrees of faith in God. I'll give you a very simple example. George Mueller. Some of you know who he is, right? Started a lot of orphanages. All by prayer. He doesn't go around raising funds. All the needs for the orphanages, he talked to God and God alone. Mighty man of prayer and faith. He has a degree of faith much greater than most Christians, don't you think? So it could be the various degrees of faith, or another factor could be that God has distributed different gifts and responsibilities to us. And of course, then the results and fruits of those ministry may differ. And as we listen to this fourth Good Ground Hearers, I hope our hearts are warm, as well as we'll be prayerful that God would bless our churches and this church with more good ground hearers. Oh God, for more good ground hearers. And I'd like to encourage the preachers here, the Sunday school teachers here, as you prepare to teach God's word each week, may you labor not just to make your lesson simple so that your students can understand, but to bathe your preparation in prayer so that the word may be received by your hearers and bear fruit. You see, in spiritual teaching, we battle against two things, the physical factors as well as spiritual factors, right? And there's a spiritual element that we must not forget. And that is why it is not just important to prepare the lessons well. It requires that. That is basic and a given. But it involves more than that. All right? We need to bathe our lesson in prayer, because only the Spirit of God can guide us and our hearers into all truths. So this is what I would like to encourage us and remind us to do when we minister the Word of God. Very quickly, let's have an overview of what we have just seen in the parable of the soils. The first three types of soils reveal three factors that hinder the reception of the kingdom message. And what are they? Satan, tribulation, and what? Greed. And Jesus taught in this parable, that fruit is an indispensable test of genuine discipleship. So we have the wayside, seed falling on the wayside, birds swoop down, seed taken immediately away. They hear the word, but they don't understand it because the devil steals it away. Stony ground, no depth of earth, instant growth, but no roots. Therefore, scorched by the sun. And this represents an initial reception of the gospel message, but persecution or trouble leads to falling away. And then we have the thorny ground hearers. Seed grow among thorns that choke it. There's reception of the word, but compromised by what? Riches and worldly concerns. And the good ground represents the seed taking root, and there was growth. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to quote a Christian writer by the name of S. Kistermaker, and he concisely captures the main points of this parable when he said, "The word of God is proclaimed and causes a division among those who hear. God's people receive the word, understand it, and obediently fulfill it. Others fail to listen because of a hardened heart, a basic superficiality, or a vested interest in riches and possessions." So when God's word is preached and taught, it divides the hearers. And we will fall into one of these four kinds of hearers. That is true of Jesus' teaching, and that is true and will be true of our sowing of the seed of God's word as well. And as we listen to God's word, through preaching, through Bible study, through our own reading, my dear friends, may I ask you, which kind of hearer are you? And is your profession of faith in Christ authentic? You know, the Lord said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Are you obeying God? Not just a listening, not just a hearer. As James puts it for us in James 1, are you also doers of the word? So in closing, dear Sunday school teachers and preachers, sowers of God's word, this parable teaches us both patience as well as hope. We cannot force the truth into people's throat or hearts. We need patience, because some of the seeds we sow will never produce the fruit we hope for. Because the hearers could be one of the first three types. But others will produce 100 times more than we expect. And this is why we teach and pray and keep on sowing the word of God. There is good soil out there, even though it's not always easy to find. If we keep on sowing the word of God, we will reap a harvest in God's time by God's grace for his glory. So let us not be weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. May God bless you, and thank you for your kind attention. Let us pray. Eternal God, our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your patience and long-suffering with humans like us. Oh Lord, we thank you for the grace you've extended to many, if not all of us here, so that we are the good ground hearers who have responded to the gospel message and come to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and to be his followers and disciples. Thank you for offering to us salvation from sin so freely. And I pray that, Lord, today, if there be some here who do not know you, may you help them to open the door of their hearts to you and come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for those of us who are laboring week after week in the ministry of your word, sowing the seed, as our Lord Jesus puts it in this parable, Lord, help us to be patient. Be patient with our hearers, patient with one another, and to be hopeful, because though some may not respond, others will. And we pray that we may be patiently waiting for the harvest that you will send our way, for to the praise of your glory. So thank you for the privilege you have given to us to be co-laborers and co-workers with God. And may you encourage those who are serving in this church not to quit, not to grow weary and give up, but to continually abounding in the work of the Lord, for our labor is not in vain in him. And we thank you and praise you for all you are doing for us, in us, and through us, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.